you heard, it was even announced. And that wasn't even, you know, teed up with us. That's what you're doing. Give thanks. Paul wants us to be a praying people because God wants us to be a praying people. It's part of our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is a two-way relationship, isn't it? We hear from God, we have that in his word, and as he speaks to us by his spirit through his word, we hear from God. And God hears from us as we praise him, respond to him in worship, and as we come and pray to him. We speak to God in prayer. Well, how shall we pray? Paul wants prayer to be so part of our nature, he also wants it to be a deliberate part in our prayer. And he gives us two encouragements here, doesn't he? He says, be watchful, and he says, be thankful. Watchful and thankful. Let me start with the second of these, thankfulness. As Christians, it makes sense that we're to be thankful people, doesn't it? We are marked, or should be marked, with joy and thankfulness because God, who is rich in mercy, out of his great love which he has for us, called us to know him. God, in his goodness, sent his Son to us, didn't he? He's given us his grace. And we've received from him forgiveness, and we've been restored in our relationship with God, with the true, holy, and living God. God, in his great love for us, came as one of us. He revealed himself to us in the way that we can best understand by becoming one of us. He reached out to us in love. God, who is love, has shown us his love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's great love for you. God, who is eternal and mighty, has given us new life. We've been born anew in Christ. We've been given eternal life. And we're not left alone, are we? We're given his Holy Spirit, which has been poured into our hearts. Doesn't that make your heart sing? Doesn't that make you thankful? Doesn't that bring you joy? See, that's why as Christians we're marked with joy, because of all that God is and has done for us. And so we rejoice. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, he says, I rejoice. Because of what God has done for us, we rejoice. Now, that's not denying that life can be challenging. We do face trials and difficulties. We endure sicknesses and pain. We're affected by evil. We know the struggles of relationships. We're tempted by sin. We're aware that we are not yet fully as God intends us to be. And the going can be hard sometimes, can't it? But even in the midst of that, we are people who are marked with thankfulness, and we rejoice because of all that God has given us. You just love it when you meet that dear Christian brother or sister who is going through the most horrific thing, and yet the thing that you say is they're marked by joy. It's such an encouragement to our faith, isn't it? When we see people who are struggling with such sickness or something, and yet this joy still bubbles up to the surface. They have confidence in their good and glorious and great God. So, friends, what's our attitude to the hard slog of life? Is it to woe is me? Is it to say, I deserve better? Do we say, why is it so hard? Or is it to know that in all things we are loved by God? And in all things that we face, we can never be separated from the love of God which is ours in Christ Jesus. Is it to know that this faith which we have is more precious than gold, and it's kept for us for all eternity, as Peter would tell us. And so it gives us a living hope, a sure hope, that in all things we're more than conquerors because we belong to Christ. This is the faith we have. This is who we are in Christ. If you are in Christ, this is you. Thankfulness is a mark of who we are as Christians, and it's to be a mark of our prayers. It is the language of our relationship with God, the creator of the universe, the Lord of heaven, the holy and glorious Almighty has made himself known to us and has come to us and has saved us through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus. How can we not be thankful? How can we not rejoice? So our hearts should overflow with love and praise to this good, good God. And so our prayers, like all aspects of our life, reflect this thankfulness. Well, Paul also tells us to be watchful. Elsewhere, he uses the expression like to keep alert in your prayers, to be aware. Peter tells us to be clear-minded and self-controlled when we pray. That is, as we devote ourselves to prayer, we're conscious of what's around us, aren't we? We're conscious of the world in which we live. We're conscious in the things which are trying to hinder us from being the Christians that we're called to be. And so we devote ourselves to prayer, trusting in God that he'll help us through life and help us with all that life throws at us. And this prayer and trusting God enables us to stand against the evil one. It allows us to be in step with God, especially if we take to heart how Jesus taught us to pray. What's that line in the Lord's Prayer? Your will be done. We align ourselves with God. So friends, is your prayer life riddled with thankfulness for what God has done and is doing? And are your eyes open to see how he's answering prayer? Is your heart transformed by the wonder and glory of God? And are you then bringing all your needs to God in prayer, confident in his hearing, confident in his power, confident in his will to bless you? It's a challenge. I know there's times when I can say yes to all those questions. There are times when I can say I'm wanting to say yes to all those questions. And there's times when I'm struggling to be able to say yes to those questions. Sadly, it's hard to keep on praying. And so this is why Paul tells us and urges us time and time again. He's encouraging those who are doing this, and he's putting out the challenge to help those who are struggling to do it to get back on track and to keep praying, working out our relationship with God. So he says to pray, being watchful and thankful. And having reminded us to pray, Paul then seeks prayer for his work. See that in verse 3 and 4? He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul asked the Colossian Christians to pray for him and his fellow gospel workers in the work that they are doing in preaching the gospel. Paul's doing this. He's praying for them. Now he's asking them to pray for him. And again, he demonstrates, doesn't he, that the work that he does, what we're called to do, the work we do, the life we live, we don't do just in our own strength. No, we need God at work in us. And the work that he's called to do in proclaiming the mystery of Christ needs to be empowered by God. It's God's work, and so it's God's strength that he needs. Now, you're going to look at Paul and say he's pretty successful as a preacher, isn't he? And pretty successful as a church planter. But we also know that there are oppositions. We know there was places where he was driven out of town, and we know that, oh, he's in chains. He's a prisoner at the moment because he's preaching the gospel. And those chains are real. He's under arrest. But he keeps on keeping on, doesn't he? But it's hard. And so he says, pray for me. And pray for my fellow gospel workers. Here's a good reminder, friends, for us to be praying for those involved in gospel proclamation and evangelism wherever they are. A good reminder to the leaders of mission and the church. A good reminder that we all that we do needs to be surrounded by prayer. So, friends, let me encourage you to be praying for Steve all the time. Okay? He needs your prayers. Not because he doesn't know what he's doing, but because he knows what he's doing. Because he knows the gospel. Because he's called to be a preacher of the gospel. Because he's called to be among you as a pastor to help equip and train you so that you can be faithful in your Christian lives so you can proclaim the great glory of God. So therefore, pray for him. Pray for him. Because the work that we do in proclaiming the gospel is work against the evil one. And the devil does not want this church to thrive. But I'll let you into something that's not a secret. God's heart is for you to thrive and to grow and to proclaim and to be faithful. And our God is a mighty God. He's the God who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead for the salvation of all. But it's hard slog. It's hard as we proclaim the gospel to a world that's been blinded. It's hard slog because we're fighting for important truths. It's hard slog because, sadly, we're fighting for important truths of holding the scripture in its great authority, even within the church. It's hard slog because it's so important work. And so we pray. And so we pray. And as you pray for Steve, pray for others in gospel ministry. Pray for your partners in CMS and the work for... I feel like, you know, Steve should be telling this a little bit because that's what he did. He went round and encouraged us to pray, didn't he, for gospel workers. Continue to pray for fellow gospel workers. Please pray for me. And pray that the Anglican Church will be faithful in its witness to Christ crucified and risen. We need prayer. And as Paul seeks, pray for opportunity for the gospel to be preached, those open doors, as the metaphor says. Pray for hearts to respond to the gospel. Pray for lives and society to be transformed. Big prayers, but we have an even bigger God. So we can pray these prayers, confident and with thanks. In his exhortation to pray for the witness of the people like Paul and the work of declaring the gospel and planting and growing churches, Paul also reminds the readers, he reminds us, of our part in that work. Look at verses 5 and 6. So he says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise, friends, how you act towards non-believers. Take every opportunity. Opportunity for what? Well, opportunity to show them the love of God in Christ Jesus. The opportunity to show them how God is working in your lives. The opportunity to show them that God loves them. And we're told to do this gracefully, not condemning. So often we like to start with the you can'ts. No, be gracious. Start with God loves you. This is what God has done for you. Show compassion and love, not to be harsh, but to do it clearly and to call for response and to do it with joy and thankfulness that marks us as Christians. See, we're all called to be witnesses. We are called, all called to be able to say what God has been doing in our lives, that we are like this because God has revealed himself to me. I'm like this because Jesus loves me. I'm like this because Jesus has forgiven me when I stuff it up, which I keep doing, but I know of God's love and forgiveness. I've got this joy because I have a God who's on my side. We're all called to be witnesses. We're all given God's Spirit so that by our love for others, our faith in God, they might shine as lights. And Paul says, you've got to be prepared to be able to know what to say. Know how to answer those who ask you. So friends, pray for opportunities to let people, that you might speak to people about what God is doing for you. Pray for opportunities to invite people to join you here at church, so that they may come and see and come and know. Pray for opportunities to show love and generosity to others. And then pray for those who are called amongst you and those in the wider church who are actually called to be evangelists and do that wonderful work of evangelism in a much bigger scale, but we're all called to be witnesses. And pray that God will bring a great harvest. So Paul is writing to the church. And so these instructions here are for the church, for the gathered people of God, and for each member of the church. I've been speaking on the whole to individuals as we are the gathered church. Well, let me now speak to St. Nicholas, together, to you as a parish, as we call it. How are you as a parish going in providing opportunities for people to grow in watchfulness in prayer? Well, I go to the Thursday night, once a month, prayer meeting. That's a good start. It's a good start. I hope it is well attended because we all need to be praying. How is St. Nicholas going in supporting the evangelization of this area? In doing programs yourself, but in praying for your other, for the other churches active in this area as well, for general Christian witness, and for opportunities to respond in a way that will help people know the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you as a church going in your support of spreading the gospel across Australia and globally? How are you as a church going in building up and equipping the members of the church so that we are able to be wise in how we act towards non-believers and knowing how to give answers? Spending time in Bible study, knowing the Word of God, doing some training so that this becomes more natural for us, because it's not natural. It doesn't come easy for most of us. But we're called to do this. And I ask the questions in this way deliberately because I know what it's like, and as someone who's been the pastor of a church for a long time as well, it's so easy for us as a church to get distracted by the other things. You know, there's always not enough money. There's always another need of something. There's always things that have got to happen. How do we give that focus into the important things? Growing in our faith and faithfulness and service of God. Paul's encouragement is for us to be a praying church, watchful, alert, deliberate, full of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the greatness of God and for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. God is faithful. And God will bless his people as they call upon his name. So may you, friends, be encouraged in your faith. Hold fast to the truth that's been revealed to you. And may you be filled with God's Holy Spirit and be faithful in prayer and witness. So may he who has begun a great work in you continue that good work, equipping you in and giving you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus our Lord. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.